This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
If you were wondering what that last segment did to me, I just spent more time than I'm proud to admit looking around trying to find out where my headphones were to put on, take a stab at where my headphones were to put on. The headphones that I needed to put on were on. And yet, I spent no fewer than 5 seconds looking all around my desk in a mild panic because I could not find where my headphones were to put on as the intro song was rolling.
I don't know if I'm concerned or think it's funny. Maybe it's somewhere in between because, yeah, I was I'm like, okay, what is he doing? Why is he? He's just looking around. And it, okay, all right. So what you did is you went outside your pattern. You usually put your headphones on after the intro music starts.
I usually do. In fact, I usually put them on as Mr. Announcer Guy is done talking. And when little brother Oos shouts, "Lockdown!" It's usually about the time I throw them on to get ready. You know, I try to take those last couple of seconds to take a deep breath and get ready to roll. And then I pop the cans on and, you know, it's like Clark Kent ripping the shirt open. Time to be Superman. And in that moment, I went to rip the shirt open and forgot I didn't put the uniform on. So we're good. It's 7:02 in the morning. We're ready to rock and roll. We got a lot of stuff we got to talk about. CONCACAF Gold Cup. Mexico reclaims the throne with a 2-1 victory last night. And there's a lot to talk about for you net heads that follow the USMNT as we are now well inside of a year away from the start of the 2026 World Cup here on our own soil. I've got some conversation I want to have about that because on one hand, this team showed a lot of grit and determination to make it to the CONCACAF Gold Cup Finals. On the other hand, we very clearly were outclassed and panicked despite a third-minute goal. We had an opportunity, and we just panicked and let Mexico rip it away from us. I want to talk about that. I'm going to do my best not to talk about any more Braves baseball, but there are plenty of other stories in Major League Baseball that we need to get to because while football season is a week away with 7 days from now being the kickoff to Southeastern Conference Media Days and your boy will be live at the College Football Hall of Fame for all 4 days of that event. And then a week and a day after that, we'll be live in Charlotte, North Carolina for the ACC football kickoff as well. It is football season. However, it is still and also baseball season as well, so we'll talk some baseball. Got a hockey story here as the, I gotta tell you, I love what's happening in North Carolina sports right now. I should say the Carolinas, because we're just one big state split down the middle. Carolina Hurricanes make another free agent signing over the weekend, which I think is a big one. We're going to talk about that. I asked a couple of baseball dudes over the weekend, Do you think the Charlotte Hornets are a dark horse? Do you think they are at least pointed in the right direction? And most of the basketball dudes that I have talked to on the network have said, yeah, I like where this team is going. So I want to get into that a little bit. And there's plenty of other stories out of the NBA we need to get to as well. Yada, yada, yada. When you get to the office, in about 56 minutes and 45 seconds from right now, when you sit down, when you're done with those stupid emails you got to respond to, it's Monday, you got to put up with the all, how was your weekend? Did you eat any good food? I put on 4 pounds this weekend, dude. 4 pounds this weekend.
How many brats did you eat?
A lot. A lot of brats and a lot of burgers. Because shout out to our esteemed host on Friday night, Doug Irwin of the Triumph. Doug put together, and I mean this, one of the best backyard burgers I've had in a long time. Shout out to Doug going full grill master on Friday. I had like 4 of those bad boys. I was hurting Saturday morning, and it was worth it.
You ate 4 hamburgers?
Yeah, dude. And 2 hot dogs.
Oh.
Yeah.
What is going on?
It was rough. I was really optimistic that by the end of this week, going to SEC Media Days, I was going to tap the 200. I really was. And then I absolutely ruined it because I went from 204, actually 203 and a half, back up to 208. So I got some work to do. I'm not getting to 2 by next Monday, but I think I can get, whatever. Great weekend. You're going to have to talk about all that, blah, blah, blah. Then you're going to talk about sports. You're going to talk about this. It is the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top 3 sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your coworkers. Maybe you work from home with your significant other. Maybe you work from home by yourself with your dog or your cat or whoever you talk sports with to keep the insanity at bay. When you do, this is what you'll be talking about. Allow us, ladies and gentlemen, to dive right in with item number 1. 2-1, Mexico knocks off the United States of America in the CONCACAF Gold Cup final last night. A wonderfully served free kick from Sebastian Berhalter found the head of Chris Richards in the 4th minute of that contest. It was 1-0 United States very early in that one. Unfortunately for the U.S., the Mexicans would draw level on a Raul Jimenez goal about 23 minutes later. Nothing happening until halftime. We played into the 77th minute before Edson Alvarez found a header that just got past Matt Freeze off of a deflection. That made it 2-1 Mexico. The Americans made a couple of late substitutions to try to make something happen, but unfortunately, no late game magic. There were a couple of opportunities for the Americans to draw level. There were also a couple of issues in this game. There was a very clear, and please, soccer dudes, stop trying to tell me that it was an incidental handball in the box, because there was a foul before it that was as clear as the light of day, followed by a handball from Mexico in the box that should have led to a penalty kick that was not given. There was also a penalty called later on in the game that led to Mexico's second goal. That was 1,000%, at least by the consistency of what had and not been called in that game, not a foul awarded to the Mexicans. I do my best not to be a we lost, blame the refs guy, because especially in a game like that. In fact, I tweeted out the gif of celebrity deathmatch referee Mills Lane with the let's get it on, because this referee in this game last night was very willing to let the boys play. Mario Escobar was the head ref. He is known in CONCACAF for letting the game play out. You know, whenever he is in charge, it is going to get chippy. You know, whenever he is in charge, you are likely going to see a ton of physical contact. And I'm okay with that, provided it is going to be called both ways and the clear and obvious stuff is still going to catch the whistle. It did not last night. This American team, I'm not this guy. I swear to you, I'm not this guy. But America got CONCACAF'd yesterday. It is a running joke in international football that a team occasionally gets CONCACAF'd, where a dereliction of duty committed by the man with the whistle in charge of the game ends up costing a team the game. I'm not saying that had those calls gone the other way, Team USA would have won the game. I am saying that free kick in the box, which should have been a PK after both a foul and a handball. I do not care if it was his brace hand. When you go down, you have the full palm on the ball and you use the full palm to roll the ball in the direction that your body weight is going. That's a handball, but it did not get called. The Americans, despite a couple of chances late, could not find the back of the net. It cost them the Gold Cup. This is a two-pronged conversation because on one hand, shout out to the grit of a team of B-squatters that got told, you're out of your depth. You're out of your league. You can't do this. There's no way that you're going to be able to make this happen. And yet, they had a run, including a PK's sudden death moment against Guatemala in the semifinals to make it to the CONCACAF finals, to make it to the championship match. I was actually not just happy about that. I was pretty damn proud as I was one of the detractors. I was one of the guys saying, no Wea, no Pulisic, no Reyna. What the hell are we doing here with these bunch of B and C squad players? And yet, these B and C squad players went into a tournament filled with CONCACAF teams, largely comprised of A-teamers from other international sides, and got us all the way to the finals. Good on you. The problem was, we panicked last night. Mexico was the more technically sound side. They were more strategic in their approach. They also owned two-thirds of the possessions. And the issue I had was that when we got one of those rare and infrequent possessions that we were able to get into the Mexican side of the field, once we got down into the scoring third, we just kind of panicked. It kind of went to Berhalter ball. It kind of went to spray and pray. Let's just kick it down there. Let's see if we can outrun them to the spot and then out-athlete them in the box. And the reality is, you can't. Maybe the A guys could. Maybe the Pulisics and the Reynas, maybe those guys could kick it down there, get down there, beat them to the spot, then out-athlete them with the creativity to make something happen. These guys could not. That's a moment that I need to see Parachino step up and go, all right, here's our tactic. When we get down there, I know it's rare, but when we get down there, this is the spot I need Parachino to say, here's the offense, run it, do it this way, handle it. And it didn't feel like we ever did that. It just kind of felt like it was, get it down there and let's see what happens. 2-1, Mexico takes the Gold Cup final. Let's get to item number two. I have already talked about this very briefly, so I'm not going to land on it and stay on it for a long time. The Atlanta Braves get swept at the crib by the Baltimore Orioles. They ended with a 2-1 loss last night. I am at this point, I don't know, I'm going to probably do this either today or tomorrow. And I may wait to see what happens tonight in a game that I 1,000%, you know, earlier in the season, if the Braves were playing out on the left coast, especially if they were playing the not Oakland Athletics, and the game went first pitch at 10 p.m., I'd probably stay up and watch it. Or at least watch like 6-7 innings of it. If it was exciting, stick around. That game's not ending till, 12:30 or so. But back in the day, and by back in the day, I mean 2 months ago, I'd have stayed up to at least start this game. And then if it was a good game, a compelling game, I might have stayed till the end of it and just got myself my 3 hours of sleep and taken a nap the next day. Tonight, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I may not be asleep when this thing starts at 10 o'clock. I will be in bed. The absolute best I can tell you I'm going to do is like put the radio call on and drift off to sleep, because Lord knows the Braves offense will put your ass to sleep. I am going to come up, and if I got to go back and look at all 89 of the games played for the Atlanta Braves so far, I may very well do this. I need a stat for pitchers who give you 6 innings and 2 or fewer runs and lose the ballgame. Grant Holmes takes his 8th loss. I don't know this off the top of my head. I'd be willing to bet that at least half of those losses from Grant Holmes, who has been performing way above expectations, I'd be willing to bet that half of those losses came with Grant Holmes striking out at least 5, giving up 2 or fewer across 6 innings, and just having 0 offensive support. That's exactly what happened yesterday. The Braves only got 6 guys on the bags. They left all of them on there. Sorry, seven guys on the bags. They left all of them on there. You had a Sean Murphy home run, which was the lone score of the game for Atlanta. With runners in scoring position, this team went 0-4-6 yesterday. Literally 1-4-6 in that spot. We got an extra inning games. 2-for-6, the Braves win that game, but they can't do it. They fall to the Orioles. 2-1, Baltimore is now 40-49, and that's the team that swept you. A team that, despite being on a run lately, they are 26-20 since they moved on from their manager. A team that has been on the uptrend, not a great one, but on the uptrend, but is still 40-49, came into your crib and swept you. It's just not good enough. All right, let's get to item number three. This is more of a Clemson story than it is an everybody story. But if you're a college sports fan, it is going to be something that is going to be, you're going to want to keep an eye on it. Over the weekend, Brad Brownell had a conversation with the folks over at On Three Sports. On Three Sports has been growing, has gotten much bigger. It's a reputable source. And they had a sit down with Brad Brownell. Brad Brownell told On Three Sports in a revelation that I had not heard about yet. Brad Brownell said that Clemson basketball, he is expecting to get 11% of the school's total revenue share. 11%. Brownell went on to say that he believes some of their competitors in conference and out will be getting 20 or more percent of the revenue share. He said, quote, "Our numbers are not going to be at the level of a lot of folks. It's going to be hard," end quote. Now, I'll keep it a buck. The rest of that interview is behind a paywall that I, as of today, do not have access to. I am considering paying for a subscription to On3 Sports just to read this interview. I really want to know what the rest of this is. But On3 gave the teaser, and the teaser was 11% of the 20.5 million rev share is going to be going to the basketball program. And I have a genuine question. I have a genuine question for you Clemson fans. That is effectively 2.25 million dollars, if my numbers are correct there. I did them last night on a calculator because I'm very dumb. If I recall correctly, it's like 2.25 million dollars will be going to the basketball program. Are you good with that? Do you think that's a fair number? Brad Brownell says that some of the direct competitors in conference will be receiving closer to $4.5 million. He's getting $2.25 million in revenue share to distribute to basketball players. So my question is for Clemson fans, 844-326-3663. A, do you think that's fair? B, are you happy with that number? Do you think that that is acceptable? And C, and this is where I'm going to land, and we're going to talk more about this coming up in the next segment of the radio program. Do you feel like this is enough of the revenue share? Understanding that it has to be split with football, the bread and butter, the crown jewel of the school, I get it. But understanding out of 20.5 million, that 2.25 is going to be going to basketball. Do you feel like you can say, honestly and genuinely, with that being the revenue share, that Clemson is committed to basketball? I'm not saying they are or aren't. I may say that in the next segment. You'll have to stick around and find out. But do you feel, as Clemson fans, and I want your opinion on this, you can text the Hub City Spartanburger text line at 844-326-3663, or you can call in to 844-326-3663. I want your thoughts. Is 2.25 out of 20.5 million enough to A, be competitive in basketball, B, to say that the school is dedicated to basketball, or C, is that a number that we go, all right, basketball's just a kind of a thing they do there? We'll talk about this when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Brad Brownell, in an interview with On3 Sports, said that he expects Clemson basketball to be getting 11% of the school's revenue share money of $20.5 million, assuming Clemson does spend all 20.5, as they are part of a power conference, they will. That works out to be about $2.25 million. The Clemson basketball program took in about took in about $10.5 million. They paid out about $12.75 million. They operated at a slight loss of just more than that last year. So, with of a $20.5 million budget, with $2.25 million of that going to the basketball program, here's my question for you Clemson fans. And I sincerely want your thoughts on this at 844-326-3663. A, do you think that's a fair number? I am aware that, and this is not a Clemson exclusive.
What is this money used for?
This is revenue share. This is for the players.
Okay, so this is for the players.
This is for the players. This is money earmarked out of that 20.5 revenue split. So 20.5 of the revenue that comes in from the TV contracts and all of that, a $20.5 million cap can be distributed across all of the athletic departments to players.
Is this market set by the NIL precedent? So do you look at how much they made with NIL and that's going to be what your payout is?
Of the power conferences, this is the cap set by the new College Sports Commission, by the House v. NCAA settlement terms. This is a term of that settlement, is that the revenue split is capped at $20.5 million. Regardless of the income, if you are a Power 4 conference, you a Power 4 conference member, you will do $20.5 million. That is your cap. Now, you are, some of the other schools are not obligated to get into this at all. And you are free, as Clemson is, to split this money up however you wish. You could, theoretically, if you wanted to, you could give 100% of your cap all to football. And on top of that, you could give it to, you could give as much as you want of this to one particular player if you wanted to. You could hand most of this money to one particular player. I got to remember who it was. There was a, I want to say, was it Texas Tech? I think it was Texas Tech. In fact, it was. Texas Tech is giving one guy $5.1 million, a revenue split. That's a five-star offensive guard, by the way. They are giving an OG $5.1 million of their $20.5 million revenue split. Now, I'm bad at math, but 5.1 out of 20.5 checks in around 20% of their rev cap is going to one offensive lineman. I genuinely don't know how the money's going to work out.
Yeah, what's the quarterback getting paid?
Wow. I don't know how that's all going to pay out. Now, we'll come back to that story a little bit later. Clemson is giving, of their 20.5, according to Brad Brunell, 11%, around $2.25 million of their $20.5 million cap is going to basketball. I want to know from Clemson fans, is that a fair number? Do you think that is an acceptable number? Is that not enough for basketball? This is a basketball program that over the past couple of years has been trending in the right direction. This is a basketball program that has stayed at the top of the Atlantic Coast Conference. This is a basketball program that has been making it into the March Madness tournament, which of course we know is a big source of income for both the program and the athletic department. It increases the amount of payout they get from the conference as well. Is this a fair amount of money, $20.5 million? A. B. Is it too little? And if so, is it a disappointing revelation from Brad Brunell that $2.25 of the $20.5 is going to basketball? Because I will say, for a program that has been pointed, not just pointed in the right direction, but for a program that over the past couple of years, as long as it took Brad Brunell to get here, is a program that has been relevant in the college basketball discussion and feels like, with some recent recruiting, with some of the portal pickups that Brad Brunell has had, feels like it has the opportunity to stay massively relevant in the college basketball world. It feels like Clemson's program is very much, if it was to continue its trajectory upwards, could become a program that operates in the black, not in the red, taking in more money than it costs, which obviously is the way that you continue to grow, continue to get better, continue to become, again, a more prevalent and a more relevant program moving forward. I also say, out of $2.25 million, with the full understanding that football is the crown jewel, football is the bread and butter, and not just in the Southeast, but across power conferences, football is, with the exception of a few schools like North Carolina, like Duke, football is the priority. Football is where you want the money to go. But out of $20.5 million, $2.25 million dedicated to basketball, when this is already a program that operates in the red despite recent success, I hate to say it, it makes me automatically knee-jerk react, and I will think about this a lot more. I read this article, I saw this quote from Brad Brunell last night, and I will also tell you that I have reached out to a couple of folks who cover Clemson. We've got John Blau coming up here in just over an hour. We will ask him about this and get his thoughts on it. I am also speaking currently to another Clemson reporter who is very much dialed into not just NIL, but into the rev share strategy of Clemson. In fact, there was an article. It's Chapel Fowler is his name. He's been on the program with us before. Chapel is very much dedicated to covering what is going to happen with this rev share money, the impact that is going to have. And I assume as those payments start to go out, which I believe is in the next handful of days, we'll likely be at the forefront of tracking who's getting what from Clemson and the impact that they are providing back to the athletic department and the teams that they play for. I am working on trying to get him booked on the show either tomorrow or Wednesday to give us his thoughts and his breakdown from somebody who has been very much locked into all of this. My knee-jerk reaction, before we speak to John Blau, before we speak to Chapel Fowler, before we really dive into the nuts and bolts of all this, and to keep it 100% and be transparent with you, before I even get an opportunity to read or hear the entire interview with Brad Brownell, it is locked behind a paywall that right now I have not subscribed to. I may, just to read this article. Before we get into any of that, and before I really even, this is not something I usually do, but hey, gut reaction is gut reaction. The gut reaction I had to this is, it doesn't feel like Clemson's really taking basketball all that seriously. Hey, that's their priority. As another Bobby once said, that's their prerogative. I don't know. The knee-jerk reaction I had was out of $20.5 million, $2.25 going to basketball does not make it feel like the university really takes basketball all that seriously as a top-notch sport within that institution. At least men's basketball. And I would feel bad if that is the case, because Brad Brownell, who Lord knows he has gone through his crap at Clemson. When I got here in 2020, in fact, for my audition, when I came up in late February of 2020, the boss man said, I'm not going to tell you what to talk about on your audition show. I came up here for two shows. To fill in, to host two shows, to kind of give my vibe, to let the boss listen and decide if I was the guy. He said, I'm not going to tell you what to talk about, but I'm going to ask you to cover a couple of topics because I want your thoughts on the local sports scene. I just want to know that you're plugged in. And the two topics that he asked me specifically to talk about on my auditions were Will Muschamp at South Carolina and Brad Brownell at Clemson. He said, I want to make sure that you are plugged into the local sports scene, and I want to make sure it is on a deeper level than just football. To which I said, yeah, no problem. So I came up, and we did a couple of segments on Will Muschamp, at the time the head coach at South Carolina for football, and on Brad Brownell, still the head coach for basketball at Clemson. And when I got here, one of the things that I did the night before I did my first show, because it was in February, we were working towards the end of the ACC regular season. That was the year that Clemson was having a pretty good year in the ACC. In fact, if I recall correctly, it was Clemson and Florida State were set to play in either the ACC semifinals or the finals early in the morning that day in the ACC basketball tournament. That was not of the audition, but like of that year. That was the day COVID happened. The lockdowns really started. In fact, I was sitting in this chair, in this studio, with the Clemson Florida State warmups on that TV because we were carrying their game live at the time, but I was going to do break-ins throughout the game, right? I was going to do like every other break. I was going to come on for 60 seconds, just give my thoughts, because it was on at noon when I was on in the noon slot. It was on during the show, but we were carrying the game, so I was going to break in. And you know, the take I had was, it feels like Clemson is close enough. You're getting the recruits. Like, I would not make the move right now. But I also would say, if there's not a March Madness and preferably a couple of wins, we move on, whatever. Brad's been through his stuff. But I'm kind of at a spot now where I'm going, all right, what more does the guy need to do at this point after the last couple of years? I mean, I guess you could say a Final Four run, didn't Elite Eight run. I guess you could say a Final Four. What more does Brad have to do to prove to you that investing in this program is worth it? And if you're going to give the guy 11% of the rev share at $2.25 million, with the understanding that every dollar that you give to the Clemson basketball program is a dollar you cannot give to the football program, this feels a little light. It feels like I would try to move it up to like 17, 20%, say, Dabo, you got 80% of the budget, 80% plus of the budget to work with, figure it out, because we want to be a basketball powerhouse, the other sport that makes money as well, and right now we're not. Either a powerhouse or making money, we can fix that. I don't know. It feels to me like this is just a message from Clemson that, hey, we're not really worried about basketball. Clemson fans, what's your reaction? 844-326-3663. Let's take a break. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, Clemson fans, I'm looking for you. 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E-R. If you're on the social media, I'm going to pop this up on the Facebook page here in just a minute at facebook.com/thefanupstate. You can also go there or the Facebook on YouTube or on Twitch to watch the stream live. Hello, everybody on the radio stream this morning. Actually, I should bring us back from the break before I say that, shouldn't I? Yeah, that's dumb. All right. Hello to everybody on the radio stream. Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, TheFanUpstate on YouTube, TheFanUpstate on Twitter. I've asked the question, with Brad Brownell announcing that he expects Clemson basketball to receive roughly 11% of the $20.5 million revenue split that is obligated by the House v. NCAA settlement for the Power Four schools. That is, of that $20.5 million, about $2.25 million. I said in the last segment, at a point in time where it feels like Clemson basketball is as hot it is as it's ever been. They have been hanging out at the top of the Atlantic Coast Conference, historically a very good basketball conference. The last couple of years, they've made an Elite Eight run. Last year's tournament was a little bit disappointing, but hey, it's going to happen to everybody at some point. With Clemson basketball being as hot as it is right now, $2.25 million out of $20.5 million to me feels like almost a quiet announcement from the athletic department itself that they don't feel like basketball is all that much worth investing in. And I expect that out of some schools. I think some schools are going to say, look, basketball is a secondary thing for us. Men's basketball, despite March Madness being a huge moneymaker, men's basketball is a secondary sport. We are dialing in, focusing in, investing in exclusively football. And with the knowledge that many big name football schools are going to put the overwhelming majority of their financial investment into football, every dollar that somebody else spends of their $20.5 million on football that you do not spend on football is a step behind, right? That's them taking a step ahead of you. So with the knowledge that all of that is true, and with the knowledge that this 20.5 has to go across all sports, including football, and with the knowledge that Clemson football is obviously the crown jewel, it is obviously the number one priority. I am aware of that. You don't need to shoot me. I do want you to shoot me your text to the Hub City Spartanburger text line at 844-326-3663, but you don't need to text me that football is, was, and forever shall be the priority. I've been around. I am aware. What I am asking is, should basketball be a priority, even if it is secondary? Should it be a priority? Because to me, it feels like it should, and it should right now.
How much money should they take away from the football team to give to the basketball
team? So I would say two things. Number one, and this is going to sound like a shot at you, it's 100% not. That is kind of poisoning the well of saying, well, the $20.5 million, that all belongs to football, and then whatever we give to you is taking away from football. Now, it's for the athletic department to use as they see fit. So it's not earmarks exclusively for the team.
No, I agree. I agree. But if there's a certain amount that they think the football team should have, should the football team go, you know what? We want the basketball team to do a little bit better. Here, take a couple more million from the football team.
You and I both know there ain't a football team in America that's right, going to say, we'll take less money. It is up to the athletic department to decide
that money,
what team they want to invest
that
in.
That money has to come from that pool. So they would have to say, sorry, football, you get less so we can give basketball more.
Correct. That is 100% correct. It is, we have $20.5 million. We are going to split it up across all of our athletics teams as we see fit. Because I assume that of that 20.5, it is not going to be 11% of it is going to basketball and 89% is going to football. I assume it's going to be like 1% is going to go to baseball and 0.5% is going to go to, you know, whatever other sport, softball or track and field or whatever other sports. I assume it is going to be divvied up multiple ways. But at the same time, if you are Clemson, and not just Clemson, I would say this is true of every Power 5 school, you also want to invest the most of it in the sports that bring the most money back to your program. And that is football, and that is men's basketball. There are some schools where maybe women's basketball, like I assume South Carolina is likely of their $20.5 million, although I don't know this yet. I will work to find out. I would be willing to bet South Carolina is probably going to invest a larger percentage of their $20.5 million into their women's basketball program than most other programs do. Certainly most of them in the SEC. I'm sure, you know, Tennessee is probably going to put a good chunk of that. I say good chunk. It might be like 2%, but put a good chunk of their money into the women's basketball program. Places like UConn. Like UConn is women's basketball. They've got a good men's program. Back-to-back national championships and all that. They'll put a chunk into that. They'll also invest in the women's basketball program. But they have the same, if they elect to invest it, as they are not a Power 5 school, so they are not obligated to. If they choose to invest it, they can put that $20.5 million into the Husky football program. They can put it back into men's basketball, where they make a good chunk, if not the majority of their money. They can put it into the women's game, where they make a good chunk of their money as well. Yada, yada, yada. So, with all of that known about all these different places and about all these different brands and schools and athletic departments and whatnot, my question is this fair? My knee-jerk reaction, knowing that Clemson football is the crown jewel and the priority, knowing that Clemson football is absolutely going to get the overwhelming amount of that $20.5 million to divvy up across players. 11%, $2.25 million out of 20, does indeed feel like a bit of an announcement without making the announcement that men's basketball is just kind of a secondary priority for Clemson. I'm not saying that you should give them 50%. I'm not saying you should give them 25%, but I thought that number might be closer to like 17, maybe 18%. I thought that number would be closer to like 4 or 5 million. And the only reason I throw that out there is the number is because, again, Clemson basketball took in a few dollars more than 10 mil, and they sent out last year in expenses and cost a touch more than 12 mil. So they're operating at like a, this basically allows you to put into NIL, put into rev split. I shouldn't even call it NIL. I should call it revenue share because that's what this is. It is not NIL. It is revenue sharing. To put into revenue sharing the equivalent of what you lost by running a basketball program last year. Despite the fact that, again, back-to-back tournaments, an Elite Eight run, a disappointing early exit last year, but you were there, you're showing the upward growth. I might be overreacting to this. I might be being dramatic. I'm looking for you Clemson fans to either agree with me or tell me why you're good with it. And I know a lot of you are going to be your football first. I assume that there is a lot of Clemson guys and gals out there that are going to say, Rob Brown, I'd be good if 100% of this went to football. All I care about is football. And I acknowledge that a large chunk of this probably comes from the fact that I am a basketball guy. I love basketball. I love college basketball. And I firmly believe that if it was up to me, schools would care about college basketball just as much as they care about college football. I understand that that is not a reality and that is not going to happen for, I would even be willing to say, a majority of fans across a majority of schools, certainly across the Southeast. I feel like this is probably a different vibe in the Midwest. It's probably a different vibe in the Northeast. It's probably a different vibe in North Carolina for a couple of schools. But I would like schools to care about basketball the way they care about football. That is a part of the way that the, or a part of the reason that the March Madness tournament is so good, is because you have a lot of small schools for whom basketball is a priority, and you have a lot of the big schools for whom basketball is as big, if not maybe slightly less of a priority than their football program. But I am also a realist, and I also recognize that for most of the schools, because of the way that things operate, football's a moneymaker, basketball's not, or at least not as much of a moneymaker. So these terms, as laid out by head coach of the Clemson Tiger basketball team, Brad Brownell, saying 11% of the revenue sharing, that works out to be about $2.25 million out of $20.5 million, is going to basketball. It feels to me like the Clemson athletic department saying either, we don't really care, it's a secondary investment to us, or that this is a program that we are just going to say, we care about you, we want you to do well, but you're going to have to do more with less. It just feels like that number should have been higher. Again, I'm interested. We're going to talk to John Blau coming up in less than an hour from now. We'll ask him about this. I am working on getting Chapel Fowler from the state newspaper, who has been very invested in the revenue share angle for Clemson. I'm working on getting him booked sometime in the next couple of days. He has been tracking this. He's actually got a very good article up on the state, if you're subscribed, that you can go read right now, where he kind of dove into what these numbers are, trying to get him booked for later on this week. And I want to see if either one of these guys have a strong opinion about it. But it does. My knee-jerk reaction, acknowledging it's a knee-jerk reaction, my knee-jerk reaction to this was, it feels to me like this is just a message from the athletic department at Clemson that basketball is a dramatic secondary investment. 11%. Now, again, every dollar you take and give to basketball is a dollar less you can give to football. And, you know, if you're looking at, say, because I will tell you they are going to do it this way. If you look at, say, Florida State, I'd be shocked if Florida State is going to give anywhere close to 11% to their basketball program, especially right now. I'd be shocked if, I was going to say Miami, but honestly, Miami might be in that same department. And a lot of this is obviously, all of these schools, this is new to them. It just got cleared, what, a month and a half ago? The payments are just having to start going out on the books in the next few days. Everybody's going to have to figure this out. And I will acknowledge that there is a chance that after a year or two, maybe Brad makes a Final Four run this upcoming year. Maybe football goes on a championship run with the 85, whatever it's going to be, let's say 11% to basketball, 4% to all the other sports, and then 85% to football. Maybe with that 85%, Dabo takes this team to a title game this year, and one of two things happens. Either they go, you know what? We went and played for a national championship, win it or not. We were in that game. And so we want to invest a little bit more. Maybe they take, you know, take basketball and go from 11 down to 10% and take the other 4% to the other. I don't know that that is the number. This is a hypothetical. But in the hypothetical budget, take the 4% they're giving to all the other programs and say, well, you're all going to have to do with one less percent of that because football's on a heater right now. And we need to keep it going as long as we can. Not just for the sake that making it to the playoffs is a big boost. Winning games in the playoffs is a big boost. Winning a natty is a huge boost in terms of money coming in. But also, let's keep it a buck. Clemson by 2031 is, in my ever so humble opinion, going to be looking to conference hop, either to the SEC or the Big Ten, to the real where the real money is. And if you want to make sure that you are in a spot where you can, in an ideal world, create some sort of bidding war between those two conferences, because we are running out of crown jewels. Notre Dame is not going anywhere. You basically have the top-notch teams in the ACC and the top-notch teams in the Big 12 to decide who's going where. If that is the case, because out of the Big 12, I mean, what are we looking at right now as the big moneymakers in the Big 12? If Colorado football does well and Coach Prime signs an extension, maybe them. Utah is maybe in that discussion. Baylor, maybe in that discussion. There's not a lot left. So if you're Clemson and you want to establish a bidding war between the Big Ten, and the SEC about who lands you in 2031 when your ACC grant of rights exit fee is at its lowest, or if you're going to hang in there until 2036 because neither of them wants to pay a, what was the exit fee, 30-some-odd million dollars? If you want to create a bidding war whenever that bidding war is ripe to begin, the more programs that you have that are finding massive success, the more valuable you become to the brand. If you can give the opportunity for the SEC to have one more team that is a March Madness tournament threat every year, that makes your brand more valuable. That makes them more willing to figure out what they need to do to get you there, more beneficial for you to figure out what they're going to do to get you there. So it just feels to me like it would be wise at this moment in Clemson's history to invest a little bit more in the basketball program. But I also understand every dollar, again, that you take from football to give to basketball is a dollar further behind football falls, especially to the Floridas and the South Carolinas in the SEC, the Ohio States, the Michigans, and the Oregons in the Big Ten, depending on what conference you're ultimately going to land in. Clemson fans, I want to hear from you. Tiger Pal Rachel has tweeted into the radio program right before we go to break. She said, concerning Clemson basketball, if Clemson wants to be relevant and fans want to hold Brownell accountable, they need to invest more. But number two, football, baseball, and softball are more important to me personally. So there's your first Clemson take. I'm good with it. We'll address this more later on in the show. Got some baseball, basketball, hockey, football, more. You know what we're doing. All the sports on the All the Sports show. Hey, all the sports are probably included in this sports flash.
Or at least a few of them. The Atlanta Braves were swept by the Baltimore Orioles across three games over the weekend, including a 2-1 loss yesterday. Granholms took the loss despite six innings of four-hit, two-run ball with five strikeouts. The loss drops the Braves to 11 games under 500 for the first time since 2017. The United States men's soccer team came up a goal shy in the CONCACAF Gold Cup Finals, dropping a 2-1 result to Mexico to earn the silver medal. The match was the last competitive contest the U.S. will play in until the World Cup starts next year. Carolina Hurricanes continue to add to their roster, signing forward Nick Ehlers to a six-year, $51 million contract. The unrestricted free agent was the last big name on the market and spent 10 years with the Jets, recording 225 goals and 550 points across 674 games. Hour number three of the Rob Brown Show coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God!
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102!
Laser beam! Baby, this is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah! Baseball is something else.
Yes.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.